Chapter 2, Battle of a Lifetime. Panic, the enemy of survival, hinders one's ability to think clearly and make rational decisions. There was no time to think it through or decide what to do. I held Brandon with his back to my chest, his face toward the bay, my left arm crossing his body in a life-saving hold. I prepared to plunge into the raging waters of the Chesapeake Bay. I stepped onto the little bench at the starboard, then slowly onto the rim, feet spread apart, steadying myself as best I could, afraid to jump, afraid not to jump. Oh my God, I was terrified we were going to die. My legs trembled. I held my position briefly, knees bent, and squeezed my screaming bundle as tight as I could. My voice quivered as I tried to console Brandon. "It's okay, buddy. It's okay." Time had run out. She was sinking fast, and it was time to abandon ship. I pushed off with my left foot and plunged myself and my 2-year-old into the raging waters, hitting the water feet first. My upper body followed with searing pain ripping through my left shoulder as I willed myself not to lose hold of Brandon. If I failed, he would be carried out into the bay and lost forever. Brandon had no idea what was happening to us. He fought me, twisting around to climb on my shoulders. I tried to console him, but he kept trying to get on top of me. I had to calm him down or he would drown us both. I gave him one good smack, but he continued to scream and fight me. Another harder smack settled him down. Bound together, we bobbed up and down with the white-capped waves. The shearing wind skimmed off the top of the murky water, blowing it sideways, lashing our faces and stinging our eyes. The contents of the boat were scattered about. Boards from the bow, sheets of plywood that had covered the engine, coolers, clothing, and tipped over gas cans. The spilled fuel spreading across the debris in the water's surface. The wind and waves continued to thrash us. Overwhelmed by the bay, the boat sank deeper into the Chesapeake. The salt water rose higher and higher onto the still running engine and caused a spark that ignited the floating fuel, setting the water ablaze. The fire spread across the surface and the wreckage that surrounded us. Frantically, I slapped at the burning debris and forced it away until the fuel burned off and left us floating in the storm-driven swells. The little vessel that had been tested beyond her capabilities disappeared completely. She surrendered to the will of the murky water and began the descent to her permanent resting place on the bottom of the Chesapeake Bay. Through the pandemonium of the sinking boat, jumping overboard, and the fire, I had lost sight of Mitchell. Brandon and I floated amongst the chaos. In disbelief, I looked across at the devastation that surrounded me and the likelihood we would not survive without rescue. I saw Mitchell hanging on to what looked like a piece of plywood. It appeared to have been a part of the inboard engine cover. With Brandon in my left arm, I rolled on my right side and side-stroked over to Mitchell. I grabbed onto the opposite side of the plywood, laid my right arm across the board, and hoped for some reprieve. But there would be none. The board was too thin to be used as a floating device. Large waves crashed over us, pushed us under, only to resurface and be pushed under again. The struggle to hang onto the dipping and diving board was so taxing. I thought I should let go and try to swim to the far shore in hopes a boat would come along and rescue us. Hold on or let go. Both presented their own set of challenges. Neither was promising.